This morning, we're switching gears just for one more Sunday away from 1 Peter. We'll return to the letter of 1 Peter next Sunday. But today, I want to build us up by the words of Jesus to his disciples in light of the theme present here today. There's a regular and critical reminder to the church for the main reason that we exist, the main reason that we are here today, and it is Jesus' great commission. We pick up in Matthew 28, verse 16, where the disciples are meeting up with Jesus at a rendezvous point. They're still in shock because they watched Jesus die, and now he is alive. He is risen from the dead. And we pick up in verse 16. It says this: "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" In 1943, Matsqui Mennonite Brethren Church, Matsqui Mennonite Brethren Church, had it on their heart and in their mind because of Christ's call to go and make disciples, to start a summer Bible school in the McConnell Creek area. All those farm kids north of Hatsik Lake. Over the years, it turned into a Sunday school outreach ministry that by 1962 saw 120 children gathering every Sunday to be taught and built up in the scriptures. That outreach turned into a full-blown church, and they built a little building way out on Eastern Mission on Sylvester Road that would become known as Mountain View Gospel Chapel. In 1981, that church would split into two congregations. One would become known what is the iteration of Northview's Mission Campus. The other church would become known as New Covenant Church. The families of New Covenant Church would sacrifice, give of their time, donate generously, and they bought the very land that we are on here today and built this very building that we are gathered in here today. It's pretty cool. Folks like the Davies, the Ewerts, the Vansons poured their heart and soul, their blood, sweat, and tears into this place, giving of themselves, not for personal gain, but out of their love for God, their love for one another, and their love for their neighbors who did not know Jesus. Meanwhile, in the late 90s, you can see that model family. They were literally posing for a model shoot there on the top left, or top right there corner of your screen. Meanwhile, in the late 90s, the Lord was stirring the hearts and minds of a couple other families to move out to Mission, all the way out to that weird city of Mission from the lower mainland, and start a church where the love, acceptance, and forgiveness of Jesus could be experienced in deeper community and in this city. At great personal sacrifice, they obeyed the call to go and gave themselves fully to Jesus. One of those families remains with us today as a pillar in our church, Seyoung and Diane Kim and their family here with us today. A church plant was born out of their obedience and sacrifice called Mission Foursquare Church. They would end up meeting in, of all places, that little church building out on Sylvester Road that Mountain View Gospel Church had built a couple decades earlier. Through the ups and downs of that early church plant, the Lord would hold and keep this church until in 2001 they would join with New Covenant Church and here in this building to become what is Parkside Church here today. And it is in this very room in particular that one Parksider, I'm going to pick on her today, Donna McDougall, entered this room. She had been searching for, yearning for a place to belong, And on her first Sunday here at Parkside, she entered those doors. That feeling of home hit her with a love and a warmth, a peace and a joy. I remember the words Donna used a few months later, not even that, a few weeks later. She said, she used the term, "I found my people." And she would do so, having no idea that back in 1943, people stepped out to start a Sunday school that would turn into a church, that would build a building, that would house another church later on, that was birthed by a couple young families moving to a new city to give their lives to reaching the neighbors. Donna would join our church family, having no idea of the sacrifices whoever was leading worship that Sunday morning. That worship leader and those musicians that might have woke up that morning feeling very tired, maybe even on the verge of quitting, but out of commitment, obedience, and love for God, they got up that day, prepared their heart, and served to the best of their ability. And it touched Donna's life that morning, and it touched many others that morning as well. Donna would find her home that morning with no idea, like all of us, of the many people that gave sacrificially to build this building, buy the chair that she sat on, or the many times that people like Ethel Davies had dusted and washed the very chair she occupied. Donna would have no idea that Sunday morning of who was teaching Sunday school, so that the worship leader and the other musicians could know that their kids were being cared for and they would be freed to serve her in song. Chances are that Sunday it was Diane and Se-young Kim teaching Sunday school, who for over 20 years, nearly every single Sunday, gave up the joy of singing with their church family and being fed the Word of God from the pulpit in order to love and to lead our children to Jesus every Sunday morning. In time, Donna's husband, Rod, would join our family, and he even helped us help lead worship just last Sunday. And in time, Donna's mom and extended family would join our family. And in time, Donna's daughter, Paige, would join our family. And Paige would come to grow in the love and the forgiveness and acceptance of Jesus through this church family, to the point that in a little bit, in a few minutes, she will enter the waters of baptism and publicly acknowledge that Jesus is her Lord and Savior. Just like most children have no idea of how much their parents sacrificed for them, those of us here today in Parkside have little understanding of the sacrifice of those who went before us in the faith. But the call and the provision of Christ in our life, his call to his disciples to go and make disciples, stirs something in the hearts of men and women to go, to give, to serve, to volunteer, to help where there's a need. You see, the seat that you are seated in here today is not free. Think about that. The very chair that you occupy and all the sacrifice that went on to lead to this point on this day to where you are seated today, it is not free. First and foremost, it cost Jesus his life. And then men and women in subsequent generations, from one generation to the next, sacrificed their freedoms and comforts, choosing you over self, to make a way for the next generation to know Jesus like they know him. And like little kids, we are often clueless to the cost that was paid of those that went before us and paved the way. But as we mature in Christ, we begin to see, and our hearts begin to stir in the same way that people that went before us, their hearts stirred, and we begin to count the cost, and we consider Christ worth it, and we consider those he died for worth it, worth teaching Sunday school every single Sunday for over 20 years, worth giving the church a tenth or even more of our income, worth coming in on a Saturday morning to clean and to wipe down dusty, dirty chairs, worth watching some kids so a few of their moms on a Wednesday morning can attend a book club and grow and be built up in their faith in Christ. And to this day, the call and command of Christ is to go and to make disciples. And it echoes and it continues in this place through you and through me. Perhaps there are some felts that you can buy this week that will win a child to Christ in a different country. Perhaps there is a neighbor or co-worker, as Jason shared, that is just one invite away from joining you at Alpha this January. Perhaps you need to invest in this place financially. Most Christians in North America, I'll give you a little pastoral church statistic. Most Christians in North America give 2.5% of their income in charitable donations, and most of that does go to the church. Do you know what Parkside gives? We're better than average. We don't give 2.5%. We give 3.5%. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. We as a church have a call to go and make disciples. We have a mortgage to pay off as a church. We have people to support and people to equip. We have, Lord willing, a church to plant in the next few years. And on it goes. Each of us, as we give and serve and pray and sacrifice, we pave the way for the next generation to become a disciple of Jesus, to know him like we know him. Perhaps for some of us, it's taking the next step of growing as a disciple of Jesus. Maybe even things like attending our Set Free retreat coming up November 18th and 19th. We have a desire to see 20 men and 20 women, 40 Parksiders, participate in our next iteration of a Set Free retreat. It is a huge step of faith for your average North American Christian that just likes it to be me and God and not to include anyone else, and yet the faith was never designed to be that way, and we have to break through our pride and the awkwardness of our pride and of our secrets and things like that, and come fully before Christ and one another. And the Set Free retreat does a beautiful job of facilitating that in a safe and redeeming and loving and life-giving way. And you know, I find not only are kids clueless about the sacrifices that their parents make, but also parents are often clueless of the impact that we have on our children. We often underestimate the power of our decisions, both good and bad, on those who follow after us. Our sacrifices of faith may result in children on the other side of the world coming to faith, or maybe someone searching for belonging, maybe walking into these doors for the first time, and the first thing that they feel in this place is, I've found my people. This is a community, a home that I can belong to. What are you called to? Jesus' words to his disciples are to go and make disciples. That's you and me. That's his church. It's his people. He calls us to go and to make disciples. What are you called to? What does the next step of faith look like for you? It's not an intellectual or theoretical idea or practice. It is a practical practice, the faith. What is the next step of faith for you? Are you being made into a disciple of Jesus, and are you using your life to make disciples? And ultimately, the question that needs to be asked in each and every one of us related to that is, what cost must you count and offer to Christ? Galatians 6, 7 to 10 says this, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Today, we get to celebrate some of the fruit of the harvest in witnessing and celebrating with Paige McDougall as she takes her next step of faith by being baptized in water. She has counted the cost and has found Jesus worth it. And church, your love, your faith, your sacrifice, your generosity, your service and prayers have all played a part in Christ being glorified here today through her life and her decision. Jesus is worth it. Paige is worth it. Let's pray. The band can come up as well, and we'll get ready for our baptism. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. It's a short message, but it's a simple, clear instruction from your very lips to your disciples to say, go and make disciples. And so, Lord, I pray on whatever day you return, or with whatever breath that you give us, I pray that the orientation of our thoughts and of our attitudes and the work that we lend the strength of our hands to would all be oriented around your call to be a disciple and to make disciples. For many of us that have been gifted with a family or gifted with children, that is our primary place of ministry, and we thank you for the gift of those little ones' lives and the call that we have as parents and aunts and uncles and grandparents and neighbors to raise up and to train up a child in the way that they are to go. We thank you for that ministry and that call. Lord, I thank you for this church family and the ministry that you've called us here to on Sundays and throughout the week in formal and informal ways that you call us to pour out your gospel applied into community, applied into ministry programs, applied into giving and volunteering and serving. I thank you for the ways that we can become disciples and make disciples through that venue, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the streets that you have placed each and every one of us to live on. The neighbors that are around us, it is not by mistake that we live there, but Lord, you have placed us there to be a light in the darkness, to be a gift of loving, saving kindness to our neighbors. And I pray that you would reveal in the minutes and hours and days ahead for each of us what the call to go and make disciples looks like for us in that context. And Lord, we also can't read your Great Commission without recognizing that you say, go and make disciples of all nations, that there is in the heart and the mind of every Christian, because you dwell within us this yearning and this aching to see the world won to Christ, to see that there would be none that perish, but all would come to everlasting life and faith in you. And so I pray that you would stir it up in our minds and hearts to count the cost of whatever that might look like, whether it's something simple like buying felts or whether you are calling us to something more significant and greater in the way that we are to sacrifice and live and pray and do the work of the kingdom, Lord. Lord, you have called us to go and make disciples. I pray even now and in the hours and days to come this week that there would just be this constant aching that grows within our hearts, this burden for the and brokenness for the world around us, for the people around us, that we would truly be your disciples that go and make disciples. So whatever that looks like in all its shapes and forms through the uniqueness and diversity of your body, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit on us afresh and anew, to operate with boldness, with conviction, with wisdom, with kindness, with clarity, and with great sacrifice and faith to see your kingdom come, to see your salvation be known in more people, in our families, in our workplaces, our neighborhoods, in this church, and in this world, that when future generations look back at us, they would be filled with gratitude from the sacrifices that we made so that they might know Jesus like we know him. Thank you, Lord, for those that went before us. Thank you for the sacrifices of the countless men and women that gave and served when they didn't feel like it, when they didn't even know how they were going to make ends meet. They just gave in faith They lived in faith. And we bear the fruit of that today. And we are so thankful. We praise you for your kindness and your faithfulness through those that have gone before us. We pray that we would do the same for those that follow. Lord, we love you and we thank you for this day. We celebrate now your goodness in the gift and in the step of faith represented in the waters of baptism, that you save us from our sins and that you give us eternal life. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for this time. In your name we pray. Amen.